If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If the cares and burdens seem gray all the whole day through, there's a silver line that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see by faith, trust in His promises grand. Sing and He'll be happy today, press along to the
lifted up because
sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so.
Of singing in the New Testament. When the churches got together, there was an admonition to sing. Even the example of Jesus and his disciples when he instituted the Lord's Supper. At the closing, Matthew 26, verse 30 says, they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Just to list some verses that mention singing. Acts 16, verse 30, when Paul and Silas were in the jail in Philippi, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. In Romans 15, verse 9, the admonition, I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I'll sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with the understanding also. In Ephesians 5, verse 19, is one of our texts for the outline this morning. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a second text we're going to use to form the outline this morning, Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and here's one way to do that. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In Hebrews 2, verse 12, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. In James 5, verse 13, he says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. So from two of these verses, the ones in Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, we have listed reasons or purposes to sing. It's not just coming together and say, oh, the New Testament church sang, we'll have to add that to our worship assembly. Now, there's some value, significance that the Scripture mentions about singing. Number one, in Ephesians 5, verse 19, we are to speak to one another in song. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, when we sing, we are speaking to one another the words of the hymns. It offers a connection for us to one another. See, we recognize speaking is a way that we express ourselves. And so when we assemble to worship, one way as a congregational expression to one another is to sing. We sing the song's message to one another. The message of the song expresses our faith. We listen to others in a way to get to know them. So when we gather together for singing, yes, I'm singing, but I'm singing to myself and I'm singing to you. I'm expressing my faith. You're expressing your faith. And we do so in unison. So we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So when that we sing, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. Or sing and be happy. I sing those words, you sing those words. Right. So we share a common ground, a common bond, a connection. You know, when we walk up to each other, we don't walk up and begin just making sounds. You know, we don't just walk up and, ooh. Well, maybe some of you do. But we don't walk up and hum or whistle. We speak. We greet each other. So we don't talk to one another in songs by making just mere sounds. We speak to one another, the words of the songs. So we don't just sing by hum or whistling. We speak. Number two is in Colossians 3, verse 16. We teach one another in song. Songs are a teaching tool. Even from the time of our youngsters. You know, we're already singing. We have a 18-month-old granddaughter. We're singing the ABCs. A, B, C, and so on. And hopefully she's learning those. Well, I learned ABCs, I know, from singing. And just a couple of years ago, now I can say my ABCs without singing. I have them pretty well down. I can do that. But many of us learn the books in the New Testament by singing them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We learned the names of the apostles by singing them. You know, Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew. Then the chorus, Jesus called them. And then James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon also Thaddeus. The 12th apostle, Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. We learned we learn and teach one another through our songs. You know, we sing the wise and the foolish man, a Bible verse in Matthew chapter 7. We sing Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So in our singing, we speak and we teach. You know, many of our hymns are based upon the Bible text. In hymn number 3, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, is Psalm 148. Hymn number 282 is a song titled, Oh, Praise the Lord, which is an exact quote of Psalm 117. Hymn number 134 is, The Lord is My Shepherd, a quote from Psalm 23. So we use our songs to speak to one another and to teach one another. And it ingrains us the message. As Paul, the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 16, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking, teaching to one another in psalms and hymns. Number 3, a third significance of songs. In Colossians 3, verse 19, we admonish one another in song. That means we give encouragement. Songs are practical. Many of the messages of our songs deal with everyday struggles. The words of our songs encourage us to, you know, keep on. You know, many things are discouraging in life, but the songs provide a boost. They provide a motivation. You know, so we sing, we'll work till Jesus comes. Yeah, I sing it, you sing it. Encourage one another. We sing, Onward, Christian Soldier. We sing, to the work, we are servants of God. So our words encourage and admonish and edify and build up. Sermons in song. We sing, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. It's encouraging. Number 4, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Now the first 3 points of this lesson, we speak to one another, we teach and admonish, had a horizontal aspect to it. You know, it's to ourselves and to one another. But now there's a vertical aspect to our singing. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. So just as we sing, we look around when we sing, we also look up to the Lord. We communicate to God in songs of praise. And it's we sing melody in our hearts. The songs to our God express how we feel, just as we sing to one another our heartfelt desire. When we sing to God, in our hearts, we mean what we sing. These words really are on my mind. We sing songs of faith and hope that reveal our heart's desire. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, I really want to sing and be happy. I want to praise God as part of my character. It's in my heart. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. So as much as we want to get something out of the assembly, worship is meant to give praise to God, and one avenue to do that is through our songs. Singing and making melody in your heart, now it's to the Lord. So we speak, we teach, we admonish, and now we make melody in our heart to the Lord. God, I really mean what I say in song. Number 5 is giving thanks. I only have 6 things. We are giving thanks to God in song. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Thank you. There's a whole section in our hymnal of songs of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. In Colossians 3, verse 17, it says, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So God is certainly worthy to be praised. You know, the abundant blessings that He gives us provides us an opportunity to, you know, say thanks.
Thank you.
Even as a congregation.
Thanking God in song has a long history among God's people. In Exodus chapter 15, when God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, Moses led the group in a song of gratitude to the Lord. There's even a song in our book that one phrase of the verse says, "Sing the song of Moses."
2 Samuel 22, David was delivered from his enemies and he sang a song of gratitude. In Isaiah 12, verse 5, Isaiah exhorts the people, "Give thanks to the Lord, praise the Lord in song, for he has done many excellent things." Singing? In Ephesians 1, verse 3, "Blessed," or "thank you, be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Yes. So we give thanks to God in song. That melody in our heart, thank you. The last one point is Colossians 3, verse 19. We do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus in song. So we speak when we sing. We don't hum and whistle or just use instruments of music. We speak. We teach the words. The words many times used to admonish, encourage, edify, or build up. And then we look up, make melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks. And we do it because of the heavenly authorization. Whatever you do in word or deed, the verse says, do all in the name, by His authority, by His guideline. So that's why we sing in our worship assembly. And as Dennis ever said in our Monday night meeting, don't minimize the singing. If you want to sing an extra song, I would shorten my lesson. Now, don't encourage him. But I would do that. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. And if you're subject to that, if you're not a member of the New Testament church, you've never been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity. I didn't even go 15 minutes, did I? I went 20, yeah, but who's counting now? But always at the close of a lesson, we sing an invitation song, a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you simply need a simple formula. Hear that good news that God so loved the world, He gave a son. Jesus said, go everywhere, preach that message in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Then believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want that. Then number three, you'll want to repent because Jesus said this. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Just checking. Repent or perish. I don't want to perish. Then you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. What the Ethiopian did when Philip preached to him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian interrupts Philip's sermon and says, here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still right then. They both went down into the water, and number five, Philip baptized him. So it's a simple procedure. When those four things are in place, you can be baptized. When you've heard and you believe and you're willing to turn your life toward God and make your confession, you can be baptized. Rise to walk in newness of life. From that point on, begin to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the end. I guess that's a clue. You have a string on that, don't you? We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply let it be known at the close of the song by just raising your hand or coming to the front, if you would, please. Let's stand.